to Conversations with Crystal. I'm your hostess, Crystal, and thank you for joining me for another evening of fabulous entertainment. Now, the person that I'm bringing you this evening has a really high vibration, high energy act. He loves to get the audience up and dancing and singing along, and he always provides great entertainment and a great show. Let's welcome Ron James from Voodoo Punch. Hey Ron, how are you going today?
Hi Crystal, how are you? I'm really well.
I'm happy to hear it. I'm very well too. Thank you. Look, Ron, I absolutely loved you from the first moment I seen you burst onto stage. And I will say you burst onto stage because you have such an enigmatic presence.
Wow, that is really nice to hear. Thank you. And may I return that compliment to you, Madam.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I just thought, wow, who's this fella? Where did he come from? And you just involve the whole of the audience. You involve the band. You know, it's really a show that you put on.
Oh, thank you. No, I work really hard at doing that because I've seen some vocalists just come and sing and not get too involved. And I thought it's nicer to have the audience involved. Then they feel part of the whole, you know, gig.
Absolutely. And people love being involved because, you know, people in the audience, we're doing things that they can sometimes only wish they were doing.
Yeah, exactly.
My
philosophy is everyone can sing. Everyone can sing. Some people can sing better, some people can't, but everyone can sing and everyone loves to sing. So why not involve people?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I think you do an absolutely fantastic job at it, Ron.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, Ron, how long have you been performing? I can only imagine that you've been performing since you're in nappies.
Yeah, probably. I think Mum said I used to annoy her with my crying and singing and everything. So, yeah. So no, but I think probably from the age of 14. I'm 58 now, so yeah, been a while. But because I grew up in a third world country, music was really sort of no priority for anyone, including, you know, parents. So it was just one of those things you did. So no real preference given to it by parents or anyone. So except one member of my family, which I can tell you later when you ask me about influences and things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So where did you grow up, Ron? If you don't mind me asking.
Not at all. You ask anything. I grew up in the city of Karachi, which is in Pakistan.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And I migrated to Australia when I was, I think, 27 in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic here. So it's, an amazing place here. So
isn't it?
Yeah, really. Very different to where I grew up. But, you know, I love the place here.
That's great. And have you always lived in Sydney, Ron?
Yes. Always lived in Sydney. Just traveled interstate a bit. But, I really love Sydney. I've been to other, like Melbourne and all, but I wouldn't even see myself moving there. I just love Sydney.
I know. It's we live in the best place, I think. You know, we have this beautiful harbour and lots of music venues and lots of jam.
It's all that, and I also I went to Sculptures by the Sea today. You know, it's just amazing. Yeah, so it's just, I think it's a fantastic place to be.
It is. It absolutely is, and we're very, very lucky, and we're very blessed that you came and settled here.
Oh, that's really lovely of you to say.
You're welcome. Now, let's go back to when you were, what did you say, about 14?
I think so, but possibly 12. It sounds silly what I'm going to say, but it's true. Being Catholic, all the boys knew that age, the best way of meeting girls was to join the church choir.
Oh, really? So,
yeah. I mean, a lot of girls would go and sing, so we used to go and sing. And then I was singing there in a big group, but then the keyboard player who was like the conductor, he sort of heard me and he pulled me to the front and he said, no, no, you stand in the front. And then we did a concert. I sang Brown Girl in the Ring by Boney M.
Oh, wow.
And the choir was backing me. And then I sang, you remember the song One Way Tickets?
I do.
Yeah. So I sang those two songs. And then suddenly everyone said, oh, you can sing. And yeah, mom and dad were quite surprised because they sort of never really, you know, they were not mean about it. They just never encouraged it. It was just not done.
Yeah, so, right.
And then suddenly they go, oh, that's my son. That's my son. So you know how parents are.
Yeah, yeah, look, when you were just talking about that, getting, you know, being placed in front of the choir, I got chills. I thought, what a moment, what a defining moment in a young man's life.
Yes, yes, it was quite special because he saw something or he heard something in me that, you know, no one else had done before. Mm. And then he just, and then, you know, just everyone sort of said, this guy can sing. Then I got invited to do other things. And then, you know, then it just led to, you know, just being around people who loved music and could play music. And then, you know, just life just unfolds in the best ways possible sometimes.
Isn't that fantastic? Oh, I'm so glad that you were put on this path
and
that you've continued on this path. Now, we'll talk about your mum and dad a little bit. So they weren't musical at all, and I know you grew up in a bit of a difficult situation there. So were they musical? Was there an uncle or an aunt that used to sing or...?
Yes, there was an aunt, and she's also she lives in Cessnock at the moment in New South Wales,
mm-hmm.
and she actually saw potential. And then what we used to do on, you know, certain days, we had a little tape recorder, and they didn't have money to buy anything bigger, but she used to play Beatles songs.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, I could sing with her. And then, you know, suddenly I really started, I loved the Beatles from that early age. And then suddenly she said, oh, look, you can hold a tune. So it's something you need to really pursue. And, well, you know, yeah.
I'm glad that you had that encouragement.
Yes. Well, without that, it would have been almost impossible, I think.
Yeah. So did she push you along? Did she help you believe more in yourself, direct you where to go and how to get this ball rolling further?
There was no opportunity to do that, but she kept on because just so you understand the background is out there, it's like it's all academic. Like you've got to go to school, go to finish your homework, and music sort of. But I'm talking about that time. Now things are different,
yep.
And they're better now with music. There's better understanding of how important it is. But when I was growing up, it was a very peripheral thing. So even if you said, look, I'd like to join a band, there was, I don't think so, you know?
Yeah, right.
That sort of thing. And it wasn't done out of meanness. It was just, you know, moms and dads, and you know, they just thought, this is not something that's going to get you anywhere in life.
Right. Well, I beg to differ because it's got you somewhere.
Well, yeah. I have a blast. I mean, we're playing almost every weekend now. I met so many new friends. I'm talking to you. You know, Rob, your partner, amazing. Yep. So it's all, you know, it just opens up so many doors.
It absolutely does. And like-minded people, you can't go past it, can you?
Exactly. I mean, look at the Champagne Jam. That has changed my life and my perception so much you won't believe, because with my band Voodoo Punch, we do all fast songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the jam I can sing slow songs now, and I can really express myself properly, and that's been a real blessing to me.
Look, Ron, I have commented to my husband Rob, I have said to him that you should do slow songs more often, because you can bring a beautiful timbre and pitch to your voice.
Yes, yes. Well, that's what I've been doing. You see, the mistake I made when I first came to the jam about a year and a half ago, I was trying to show off a bit with my vocals and picking only songs that I knew I could do well.
Yep.
The fast songs. But then I thought to myself after 5 or 6 months, I said, that's not really improving me as a performer. So then I started doing songs that I've never done before, ever. And they're slow, most of them are slow songs.
Yeah.
And that really helped me grow as a performer. So I owe a lot to Graham and the Champagne Jam crew.
Yeah. Look, I definitely can hear that you've improved for sure. And it's
Yeah.
not always about jumping around and putting on a show, because the some of the most engaging performances can be when there's a ballad and you're
Yes.
putting emotion into that ballad,
Yes.
and being still can evoke so many feelings from the audience, and they sit there enthralled. I've
Yeah,
watched them.
absolutely. And that's the I'll bounce that compliment back to you, because sometimes you will do a song that just, the place just goes quiet, right? When you sing a particular song that just suits your voice perfectly, and my partner Cheryl goes, "Wow, Crystal really hit that out of the park." And yeah, it's those moments that are really great, aren't they?
Oh, thank you for that too, Ron.
Oh no, I'm not making this up, because this is your show. I'm telling you the truth.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
Yeah, I
that.
mean, I sometimes I do a song and I feel, I didn't do that so well. But we all have that, don't we? But there's one song, it'll go so well, for every vocalist at one time or another.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think what's important about when you can get a little overconfident, I believe. So if you're,
Absolutely.
yep, I know I can do that song, and blah, 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 and you get up, and for whatever reason, you go sharp or flat, and you're like, oh my God.
Exactly.
But
And
what?
that's the lovely thing about the jam, because I don't know, especially, and you'd appreciate this as a vocalist, especially if you're playing a song where there's a key change.
Yes.
Sometimes you, I mean, sometimes someone misses that key change, or you, because you haven't had a rehearsal at the jam, you
That's
just get up
right.
and sing it. And that's made me, I guess, a more vigilant performer.
Yes, good point. Good point. Yeah. It's really good. I think the jams, I think everybody should experience a jam, at least once in their life, because it does show you the other side. Where,
Yes,
you know,
yes, yes.
if some people who do karaoke, they haven't been with a live band before. So I think
Yes.
it's exceptionally important to those people as well, because they're like, oh, hang on.
Yep.
You've got to kind of roll with the musicians a little bit,
Oh,
and
absolutely.
learn to read how they play.
Well, exactly, and that's exactly my point. One of the songs I had done was "I've Got You Under My Skin" by Frank Sinatra. So I came ready for that, but when they played it in the same key, but the tempo was a lot faster. So I just went with it. But I had to change the phrasing on the spot. So that stuff improves, me as a vocalist, to be honest.
Absolutely, it does. To be ready for anything, anywhere, anytime, 100% it does.
Yeah.
100%. I remember the first time that happened to me, it was a ballad, a blues ballad, and I expecting it to be slow, and the drummer changed the tempo, and I was horrified. I'm like,
Yeah.
I don't know where I am.
Yes,
So
yes, yes.
you learn quick smart, don't you?
Yes,
You really
exactly.
do learn quick smart.
Yeah.
Now, Ron, can you tell me who or what was your earliest influence? Now, I know it was your aunt who played Beatles. So is Beatles one of your favorite bands at all?
They were, and then when I was about 14, I fell absolutely fell in love with Kiss. Because their album Dynasty, my aunt had gone overseas and brought me a little cassette of Dynasty, which is "I Was Made for Loving You" and all that. And yeah, oh my God. And then because look, just so you know, we used to hardly get much music in Pakistan. It was all bootlegged, and you couldn't really go, there were no real shops you can go and just say, "I'll have this album, I'll have that." There was nothing like that. So we used to get bootleg stuff. And then yeah, so once I started liking Kiss, that I it was almost a bittersweet thing, because I liked them so much. I was not willing to accept that any other group was good.
Oh,
So
really?
It was just being, 14, 15,
Of
and
course, yeah.
just thinking this is the best band in the world, which is not true. But
Oh,
so
they're pretty up there. They're
they
pretty up
are, they are.
there.
But I mean, if you listen to how they play the instruments compared to, say, Van Halen,
Oh, no. Yes,
I
yeah.
mean, there's no comparison.
No,
But
but they're
you
also
know,
different. They're different
exactly,
bands. Do you know what I
but
mean?
after, yeah, exactly. I'm just talking about ability level. I mean, I love Kiss still, but I guess once you mature a bit, your mind opens up a bit to other music.
Yeah, that's right. So Kiss, fantastic.
Yeah.
Any other bands that got your attention? Later
I
on,
still
maybe.
love Twisted Sister, Kiss, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, all these sort of bands. And those sort of bass accent, those kind of rock, but good melodic rock.
Yes.
Yeah, so that. And look, I also love, at the same time, I started liking Simon and Garfunkel, and all those sort of those. I guess what are they considered, folk sort of music,
Yeah, they
or?
are. They are folk music, yes.
Yeah.
I love Simon and Garfunkel. Absolutely.
Oh
They're
yeah.
just masters on the guitar and their melodies and their
Oh, the harmonies!
lyrics
My goodness,
and their
the harmonies.
harmonies. Yeah. Just
Yeah.
fantastic. So yeah, you can't, and I think it does show maturity as if you can go from Iron Maiden to Simon and Garfunkel and everything in between. And lend yourself to experience the different genres.
Yes, and it has helped me become a better singer, because I can sing quite a few, except rap. I cannot sing rap,
Okay.
and obviously I don't do opera, but most other types of music I can sing them, whether it's hard rock, metal, soft. Like, it doesn't really stump me. But rap, just, I just cannot do it. Just not good enough.
You know what? I take that as a challenge, Ron. We're going to get you rapping, man.
Yeah, I'll do an MC Hammer song, I think, one day.
Yeah, let's do that at the jam. It'll be fun, I reckon.
We'll do a duet.
Now, Ron, did you ever have any formal singing lessons?
No, that's the thing. I've never ever had one singing lesson in my life, and I do regret it, but because I feel there's, with the right tutor, I could go up one octave. Like
Absolutely.
you, I mean, you as a vocalist, would you get, when you do a song, there's some notes you're sort of worried, will my voice crack?
Yes.
Some high notes. I still have that fear sometimes. So I have a feeling there's another octave in me that the right teacher would coax out. But
Absolutely, and I think it's all about where you're breathing and, doing vocal exercises and that kind of thing. There is a little trick though, is you need to find what your highest note is, right? So say for example, I don't know, whatever song, but it's got that really high note that you're really worried about, but you can get the tone below it, right? You can get the note below it. So then change the key.
Well, if
So
all
that
else,
note is your highest note.
exactly.
Yeah, I know
No,
that's simple, but and you can't do it for every song either, but I think
no.
it's a cute little trick that I certainly evoke sometimes.
Yes. Oh, I change the phrasing sometimes. Like, I think for me, honestly, I don't know what you feel, but for me, Bruno Mars is the most accomplished vocalist I've ever heard in my life.
Oh,
That's my
wow.
opinion.
Okay.
Like, way beyond Stevie Wonder and all the others, Michael Jackson, and like, Bruno Mars is, for me, is the apex of what a vocalist can do.
Wow, that's a
And
big thing.
his songs are really high. I have to drop them a key when I sing his songs.
Yeah, right. Right.
Most of them, not all of them, but most of them. He's
Yeah.
just next level good.
Yeah, wow. To be like that,
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. So, Ron, how did you get your start? Well, Did you sing, how would I say it, like just in a solo act at all? Or have you always gone in and joined a band or got a band together? How did all of that, how did your start come about?
So when I started singing, like, you know, with the choir and all, and then people noticed, then a couple of young musicians, very, you know, we were all really raw. We used to just, you know, bang around with the drums and everything. And then my uncle used to work for a conglomerate in Karachi. He said, oh, they're having a big concert. Would you like to just sing two or three songs? So we just, and there were like 3,000 people there. And we went up and we sang, I remember The Young Ones by Cliff Richard,
mm-hmm.
that, and Born to Be Alive. So we did those two songs. And I swear there were 3,000 people. I think 5 people clapped. But, you know, but it was just such a buzz. And so just, we just said, let's do this. And then, yeah, just kept going for a couple of years, but nothing serious.
Yeah.
But yeah, but when I got older, probably 17-ish, 18, then I joined a band, formal band. Yeah.
And what was the name of that band, do you recall?
That was, first band was Axe Attack. It was just a name. The guys had just pulled off an album cover or something.
Yep.
Called Axe Attack. But we were doing all songs by like Rick James and, you know, just Born to Be Alive and Ghostbusters and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so kind of like late 70s, mid-80s,
yes.
Kind of that
yeah.
kind of vibe.
Yeah, just party dance music sort of thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And so were you with that band for very long?
I think about 2 years, and then I joined another band. They were called Vision, and that was fun. That I was with them for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And out there, see, because we were sort of a Catholic band, right? Everyone was Catholic at that point, just coincidentally. Then every Catholic couple that gets married, they need a band playing for their wedding.
Of course.
Right? So the wedding party. So we got quite famous playing for that, for those events. And it was good fun. And we should, like, say December when people, most people get married out there in Karachi, like we used to play 22 gigs a month.
Oh, my goodness.
Know? Yeah. It was exhausting. But no, it was good fun. And it taught me a lot of pressure, you know, equipment malfunctioning and all that stuff.
I can relate to the equipment and malfunctioning. Oh my god. So on that, have you got a funny story of something malfunctioning and what you did when that happened?
Well, not a malfunctioning story, but the funny story is because it's sort of quite a raw, rough place to live in and play in. This once we had this guy come and say, look, we want the band to play, but it's out there, you know, like what you'd call here the bush, right?
Oh, yeah.
So like it's quite a few, it was like 100 kilometers away, but he said, I'll provide transport, you'll get food, and the money was really good.
Yeah.
So we thought, okay, so we were a 7-piece band. We went, he brought the car or the van. We went there and we just kept on driving. There was no end in sight. You know, all these cane fields and God knows what. Anyway, he set us up to a village and the whole village was playing there. But so they said, and they really loved us. And we had said we'd finish at 12 midnight. And I went to announce, you know, like, okay, 12 midnight, this is our last song. And they said, no, you can't go. You've got to keep playing. And so we said, what do you mean? Like, okay, we'll do one more song. And then we did one more song. And then, no, you've got to keep playing. And then we said, no, we're not keeping on playing. And suddenly they pulled out knives and guns and said, yes, we will. You will keep playing.
Oh, my God.
It was just, and we were like, whoa, what's going on here? So we spoke to them and we said, look, you know, we've got to get back. It's like 12:30 already. We didn't realize we were in the middle of this village and the guy who we were playing for was a warlord, right? So he told that. Now it sounds so, when I think about it, it sounds so funny. But he said, look, okay, he said, just play for another half an hour. And the bass guitarist says, oh, pay us 10,000. you know, if you want to play for half an hour, but 10,000 rupees, which is not much now.
Okay.
But he reached into his pocket, pulled out a wallet and threw it at the bass guitarist. So there's 10,000 in there, just take it and play for half an hour more.
Oh my God.
And when we finished, they were very gracious. You know, they helped us pack up, they dropped us back. And my keyboard player, as soon as we got out of the van, he just knelt on the ground and he kissed it. It was so funny. We were all laughing about it. And look, I'm still in touch with my band. Some of them are in Canada, some are still in Karachi, some are in America, and we still laugh about it.
Wow, you know? What an experience.
Oh, so you know, just so you know, Crystal, like out here, when I'm singing at a pub and someone gets drunk and they start being difficult,
yep.
I find it so easy to deal with them because some of the stuff that has happened, you know, overseas, like, you know, guns and knives being pulled on you, just like this one couple of drunk guys is no problem.
Oh, wow.
You know what
wow.
I mean?
Yeah. That's that it soon toughen you up on, I can imagine, you know. Geez.
Absolutely.
What an experience.
Yes,
it's a little bit different than someone at, you know, at the league's club or the pub going, oh, yeah, just play exactly. me Nutbush, oh, just do one more song. And then one more song is like three more songs. And it's just like,
absolutely.
Yeah, now we've got to go. And they're like, oh, boo, stay, do some more. And you're just like, nah, nah, nah. But,
and
that's kind of the end of it.
Exactly, and you'll relate to this. Like, they'll come, you know, some people come the last four songs you're doing, and they'll say, oh, like, it happened at Bayview on Saturday. That's a fantastic venue to play at, by the way. You should come up when we're playing next time. But, you know, someone came up that the second last song, and they said, oh, can you play Mr. Brightside? And I said, we just did it, you know, like 20 minutes ago. And they, so it's you always get that.
Yeah. Do you ever repeat the song if they want it?
Not really, because we think like, well, we think, look, if you've, you know, been ignoring us for like two full sets, we're not going to dishonor the people that were on the floor by repeating songs.
Yeah, right.
Just because, you know what I mean? If someone's been dancing all night, you know, I'm more concerned for that person because they've supported us by instead of, you know, sitting in another part of a hotel or like a establishment and then only when they're ready to get up and come. So then we won't repeat a song for that reason.
Yeah. Oh, you're very, very strong. And I can see now where you get your strength from and how you handle the crowd. I can see exactly now. So I'm not surprised, you know, you've got that built into you.
Yes,
so
yes.
How long have you been with, how long is Voodoo Punch is your band?
I'm the singer for Voodoo Punch now. I've been with them, I think it's coming up on 5 years, and I think they were in existence a year and a half before I joined them.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. But
so,
this is easily
so you
the best.
Joined that band, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. They had put a like an ad in, I think it was on Band Mix or something like that, and then I answered it.
Okay.
And I went for an audition, and I think it just gelled. And then I think I met them a week later. We did another set of songs. Because, look, I was already in a really, really good band, right, called Street Party out here in Sydney.
Oh, yeah, I have heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, we were. It was a really good, but we used to do a lot of funk sort of, you know, like... Yeah, so funk and rock. And but it was just time to move on from them. And I answered this ad for Voodoo Punch, and so my position was great. You know, like when you go for a job interview and you've already got a job.
Yep.
So you're going for that interview, and if you miss out on it, it doesn't crush you. So yep. I was in that kind of position. So, but I liked the guys in Voodoo Punch. They liked me, and we did just. I'm really, really glad I stuck with them because the band's evolved from, you know, when I was first there. We've had member changes and all that. Not that the old, yes, but not that the old members were not good or anything. It's just I guess we've just tweaked the band to the point where personally I've wanted the band to get to this point.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So
Yeah.
it's in a we're in a good I mean look we played at Bayview last Saturday, and the owner, who's a very clued in venue manager, he's booked us now for three gigs next year already,
Oh,
right?
fantastic.
So it's just working well for us, you know.
That's right. And you know, and I think too, being in a band, you want to see improvement and you want to not, you don't want to stay the same. You've got to
No, you stagnate.
grow.
Yeah, exactly. You stagnate, and then the audience sees through you, you know.
That's
They
right. That's
go,
right.
yeah. I mean, well, we try very, very hard to put on a good show, involve the crowd, and play as well as we can.
Yeah, that's
And
right.
so, yeah, it seems to be working.
Yeah, I think it is very much. Now, I know you're an excellent vocalist, but
Oh, yeah.
Ron, do you play an instrument?
I play a rhythm guitar, but I'm not very good. So, you know, I've just haven't bothered, muddying up the waters by playing on stage. It's not, I mean, yeah, very, very basic.
Yeah, look, I think and the only way to get better is practice, eh?
Well, I've seen you rock the guitar a little bit.
Oh yeah, I've been playing more and more at the jam, but yeah, it just kind of depends on the song, really.
Now I'm waiting for the day you finish the song and just swing the guitar off your shoulder and smash it. That'll be like a Kiss concert.
I would cry because they're too expensive to do that
Yes,
too.
I know. I know.
Oh dear, that's the funniest thing. So now, Ron, I have a little feeling that with such a beautiful voice, you may have recorded a single. Would I be correct?
Yes, you are correct. I've written a lot of originals. I've written about 14 or 15. But the issue I've had, and I've had it from day one, is never been in a band where everyone is on the same page and says, yes, let's record originals. Because, I mean, you know, they are called a cover band because they are a cover band. So what I've done is I've found the odd person who wants to record it with me. And I've got one particular song called Searching for Love that my current drummer in the band, Anton, he's one of the best musicians I've ever played with, very accomplished. So he's amazing on the drums, just as good on the keyboards, just as good on the guitar.
Oh, wow.
So, and he's got a studio in his house. So he's been fantastic. He's helped me put a couple of my songs together. And so you know, thank goodness for him. But my goal is to, you know, get Voodoo Punch to play a couple of originals, because I'm positive people will like them.
Yeah, look, they will for sure. And isn't it interesting? I've had this conversation with a few people, is and I've heard it a lot too on the circuit. We just want we want a cover band, we don't want originals, right? And it's just like, but all those cover bands were all those bands, sorry, were original in the
Well,
beginning.
exactly. And look, my logic is I don't want to do more than one or two originals in a full night. So my logic is we do probably eight or nine covers and then throw in one original. So, you know, in a night you do a couple of them.
Yeah, look, I think that's the way to go as well, you know.
Because
Definitely, definitely, yeah.
because the fact of the matter is, I mean, look, and I don't know if it's happened to you, but no matter how good a song is, if the audience doesn't really know it, they don't, you know, they don't get buzzed with it, right? So,
No, that's
you know,
right.
like, you know, how many times have you heard April Sun in Cuba, you know? But when,
Aye.
as soon as this our guitarist starts strumming that, because everyone knows the song, they just jump up.
Absolutely,
So,
absolutely.
you
That
know.
nut bush.
Oh my goodness. That's another one. You know, the one song that's going really well for us is Mr. Brightside. As soon as we started, there's just this mass sort of exodus to the dance floor.
It's yeah. hilarious watching that happen, isn't it?
Oh, it's such a nice feeling.
It is.
As opposed to there's a mass exodus off the dance floor. You know?
So. Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Really interesting. Yeah. And I mean, as much as people want to dance too, they can only stay dancing for maybe three songs. And then they get tired.
Well, exactly. Our songs are like high energy songs. And
that's right.
You're 100% correct. We did notice that at the last gig we played. It's a tricky thing is that if you make a set list, your set too long, you tire people out.
Yes.
So you've got to, it's a very tricky thing.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Because I noticed, I think the 12th song was a really good song and I could see people they ran out of energy. So no, you've got to keep your set list sensible.
Absolutely. And, you know, starting off, I think too, because we've got to do set lists all the time, starting off with not a slower song, but maybe a ballad, you know, say a Chris Isaak or something like that, kind of, people are still eating or they're just starting to drink and it kind of, you know, gets them into the groove, and then by the middle of the first set, they're ready to start dancing. By the time you then come to the end of the first set, they're ready to have a sit down and more grog and talk to their friends, more grog, more alcohol, and talk to their friends. And then by that time that you've had a break, they're then ready to get up and dance.
Yeah.
But
also
they do still, after a couple of songs, want to sit down.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of psychology involved in making set lists, I find.
Absolutely. You know? And, you know, I've found quite often, you know, we'll be doing, you know, maybe a ballad or a slower song, and then you start another song and it's like everyone's up on the dance floor and it's like, yeah, but the next song's not so dancey. Hang on, guys, we're going to borrow this song from the third set.
Yes,
we play that and maybe another one as well, and then they go, oh, you can see that they're like, yeah, had enough now, and then you can go back to your original set list then.
Yes, exactly.
So long as all of the members on stage are on the same page, so to speak, I always make sure that everybody has a set list so that they know where they are and they go, oh, yeah, okay. But
absolutely,
the members get to know the set list.
It's good you're talking about, you know, chopping and changing, because I always liken, and I've told the band I'm in, I always liken a band to a shark. Like a shark has to keep moving or it dies. It just sinks to the bottom. If it stops moving, it dies. That's how it's engineered.
Yes.
And I always say a band, it has to keep evolving and improving. Otherwise, you know, you're just stable, and then you get boring to your crowd and they stop coming. So, it's constant improvement.
And what's your view on bringing new songs in? Do you bring one in every now and again? Do you bring a couple new ones in every couple of gigs, or do you stay more or less with the same? And what about when you have requests?
Well, if speaking of requests, if we've been requested that song, like a song we don't do, but four or five gigs, someone or the other has requested the same song, we know we need to do that song.
So we
sort of put that into play. So you're in a duo with Rob, but do you also sing in a band?
Yeah, we also
And how many of you in the band?
Five.
Five, yeah. So you may have the same issue. It's always difficult agreeing on songs for us.
No, because I just go, this is what we're doing, because I'm a singer.
Well, you're lucky there. So we've got the democratic process. So everyone comes in with, 10 songs, and then we've got to, you know, sift through and then come up with, you know, okay, these are the five we're going to be learning.
Yeah, so right, yeah. No, not really. I don't really recall having any issues at all, because basically Rob and I as a unit to begin with. You
Yes,
know, and
yes,
then
yes.
he's got other players, of course,
Yes.
and you know, we even sit and talk about that, but it's they come in already knowing we're a unit and we already have songs.
Yes, yes. So that's the big advantage. See, we don't have that. We're sort of, you know, okay, what are the next songs for the next 6 months?
Yeah.
So and everyone, like, I mean, we've just gone through this process. So like I wanted to do, you know, Let's Groove and a couple more, and someone wanted to do Everlong by, you know, Foo Fighters. So we just keep bouncing back and forth until we, you know, like the five best songs rise to the top.
Yeah, look, I think you're right there too, because some songs that, you know, one of us might want to do, if it doesn't work in the in two rehearsals, it's like, nah, it's out.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So
it's got to work.
Exactly. And I'd say like a song by Charlie Puth, we did Attention. Like we actually did it. We did it well, but and it killed for the first gig we did it. And then the next three gigs, it was flat. So we dropped it.
Yeah.
So you have to not be precious about that.
Absolutely. And I'm not. I'm just like, and I know myself, oh, hang on, none of us are really getting the tempo of this, or it's just not working. Or we play it at a gig and it flops, or, you know, or it does really well and you're like, oh, well, I didn't think that was my best, but they loved it, you know.
So yes, exactly.
It's what we do is we kind of keep it. So, yeah, we know it. But it's not. It then floats to the bottom, type of thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's always there, and we could pull it out if we had it, if we had a request for it. But you never know. It's a very big juggling act, wouldn't you agree? To find the right songs, because what you like, and what might work well in the band.
Yes,
some punters and places just may not like it at all.
Well, that's 100% true, because like, you know, I'd love to do a song by, say, Iron Maiden, like Power Slave. I'd love to do it, but I don't, you know, you can't dance to it, like, so. And our audience is a dance audience.
Yes.
So, and then you pretty soon you wouldn't be getting more gigs.
No, that's so, right, that's right.
So yeah, it's a bit, you just got to go with the flow sometimes,
you know. A lot of the time, Ron, Rob and I'll go, or I'll go to Rob, oh, I want to do this song in the band or the duo, whatever, and he'll go, he'll do the same. He'll go, oh, I want to do this song. So we tried out at the jam, eh?
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. You know, one song I think you guys would do a really great job and go down well is, what's that song? For goodness sake, Hippie Hippie Shake.
Oh, yes, yep.
If you haven't done that, just try it once for your audience. I'm telling you, it will go off.
Actually, so, I'm going to write that down, because I think that was one discussed.
Yeah, because it's just got that, yeah. I mean, I don't do it with the Voodoo Punch, because we don't do that era of music. But that I used to do it with another band, and it just would go berserk.
Oh, yeah.
Try. Keep me posted. Let me know how it goes. And
I
if it works,
will.
You can buy me a drink.
Okay. No worries. I shall do that. I shall do that. Now, so we were talking earlier about searching for love, and we kind of got a little sidetracked there.
Yes. My apologies.
That's okay. So we talked about how the song come about. You've got your drummer and he's got a home studio.
Yes,
but
yes.
What was the inspiration for writing that song?
Well, the lyrics, and I'll email you the lyrics. You know I'm with Cheryl. And
yes.
She's just been the most amazing person I've ever met. So it's I mean, no disrespect to my, you know, ex partner or anything, but just Cheryl was, I guess, you know, when you're looking for something, and when you do find it, you just realize what it is.
Yep.
So that's why I wrote the song.
Oh, that's beautiful. You know? So I think what we're going to do now is have a listen to Searching for Love.
Come take my hand, I'll show you the man I once used to be. You may understand. There's more to the one that I call me. I've been searching for love, for what it feels to me like a million years. Searching for love, but I think I'm gonna let love finally find me. Come walk with me. I'll take you to a place I once used to go. Come dance with me. Let's leave our footprints in freshly driven snow. I've been searching for love, for what it feels to me like a lifetime. Searching for love, but I think I'm gonna let love finally find me. Cause I could live a lifetime in your arms if you smiled and said I do. I do understand the man you wanted to be. I could live a lifetime in your heart if you smiled and said I do. I know deep down inside what you saw is saying to me. Come laugh with me. Let's walk into a room, open a new door. Come cry with me. I'll wipe your tears away before they strike the floor. I've been searching for love, for what it feels to me like a lifetime. Searching for love, but I think I'm gonna let love finally find me. I've been searching for love, but I think I'm gonna let love finally find me.
Well, Ron, I absolutely loved your song and I look forward to hearing more of your originals.
Yes.
I would love to do that. I think you did a fantastic job on that. Good on you.
Thank you. And may I just say before you go, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I'm so impressed with your line of questioning and your manner. It's so relaxing.
Oh,
you know,
thank
just
you very
the way
much.
You went about all this thing. I think it feels like you've been doing this for like 40 years.
Well, I've been doing the readings for probably over 40 years, so.
No, but it's really, your manner was fantastic and you really put me at ease, and then it's much easier to answer questions that way.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not uptight, it's much easier, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much, Ron. That was very kind of you.
No, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very, very welcome. And look, I look forward to catching up with you. Up with you at a venue sometime. And
yes,
I find it very hard at the moment, and I'm not complaining. I'm very, very grateful that we're gigging every weekend. So
yes, but it can be exhausting, and it also does tire you out. I mean, I find that.
Yeah. So we don't really get a lot of chance to come and visit other bands and stuff.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure things go up and down and things change. So when we have the chance, I would absolutely love to come out and see Voodoo Punch. I've seen you guys. You played at Andrew Robson's birthday party, and I was just I said to Rob, wow.
Oh, wow. Look, that was a good night. But we played that with one member missing because our female vocalist got rather ill on that at the last minute. So I had to chop and change that set list. So if you heard us at Andy's party, then got the full band, and if you can make it, please do come.
Oh, absolutely. And we expect front row seats.
Oh,
priority
as long as
seating.
As long as they help us pack up, I'm happy to be.
That's another thing altogether, isn't it? Setting up and packing down. Oh my goodness!
I know. I think John Bon Jovi doesn't even look at the stage when he walks off.
Oh. You know? would it be to that every, but we could be like that, eh? Oh, dear.
Have our own jet and have our own limos, huh?
Oh, gee, that's the dream, I think. Get somebody to lug around all our equipment for us.
Yes, yes, that would be fantastic.
Well, Ron, I want to thank you for being on here. And, look, I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation and, you know, I look forward to catching up with you soon, as I said, and I'll get you to send me your social links so that I can also put them in the description of the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. It's been my absolute pleasure. Well, everybody, this has been Ron James, our guest this evening from Voodoo Punch with Crystal, your hostess, on Conversations with Crystal. And good night. Good night, Ron.
Good night. Good night, everyone. Bye.
Goodbye.